660 AM The Answer. 660 AM The Answer.com. I am America. One voice, united we stand. I am America. One hope to heal our land. I will not give up on this fight. I will not fade into the night. I am America.
America's liberty is under assault, and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Good evening and welcome to Ladies Can We Talk. I'm so happy you've tuned in. This is such a big news week, a big news time of year every year in the American election cycle. So much to talk about. So I just want to jump right in and talk about what many of you have probably been observing. If you read the internet or watch television or watch any news station or read your newspaper, and that is the violence over this past several days that has plagued the Donald Trump campaign events in several states. And in fact, it prompted the closing of one event. There's a shutting down of the event. And the protests are being, at least in name, the people who are protesting Donald Trump and his ability to speak to his supporters is a group called Black Lives Matter. And I want to make, this is my opening Speak Up for America segment that I try to hit on something really important about America every single time. And in this particular case, what I want to get at is just a really important idea about what's three kind of ways in which Donald Trump's campaign is being attacked from all sides. But I want to start with this Black Lives Matter movement. If you think that this is a spontaneous movement brought about by oppressed Americans who are finally speaking out, you have been misled. In fact, at the Donald Trump protests, or Donald Trump's rally protests over the weekend, there had been just a flurry of social media activity coming from MoveOn.org and coming from other left-wing organizations sponsored by and supported by George Soros, who funds MoveOn.org, and encouraging people to show up and disrupt this rally during the presidential election cycle, during the presidential primary. And this has a lot of points to it that I'm just going to hit quickly because I want to hit and go through the three ways in which Donald Trump's campaign is under attack. But on this one, stop and think for a moment about this idea. On America's campuses, we've regaled you on this radio show, Ladies Can We Talk, many times about the fact that college students are being taught, if you don't like something in your campus, if you don't like what's being taught, if you think a speaker is coming that you don't think should get to speak on your campus, you have the right not just to decide not to attend or to write a letter of protest or write a column in the student newspaper. You have the right to shut that person up. You have the right as a student body, as a student government, to say, we find your message offensive, hurtful, harmful. You can't even come here and talk. These happen all over the country when left-wing campuses have become the least diverse, the least inclusive, the least willing to be tolerant of other people's viewpoints. And what you're seeing in part in these protests is that attitude all grown up. These are grown-ups who are thinking they have the right to say, since I wouldn't support Donald Trump, nobody else gets to hear him and he doesn't get to talk. And you got to understand how truly harmful this is to America, to the idea of the freedom of speech in America, to the First Amendment. It is egregious. Donald Trump, like him or not, has a chance, has the right to speak, and his audience has the right to be able to hear him. The second way in which Donald Trump's campaign has been under attack, especially recently has been the news more, is obviously the establishment class in Washington, D.C. And there was a rally, there was a meeting over the weekend that we may get to talking about in our second hour, but there was a meeting, not in Washington, but out on an island off of Georgia, of a group of people who regularly meet with the idea of this very, there's all sorts of conspiracy theories and suspicions and concerns swirling around this group. But the basic notion of it is they believe these are establishment type people, very wealthy people, industry leaders. Mark Zuckerberg was there. Tim Cook was there. And the notion or suspicion is these people meet to try to say, you know, we want to kind of direct the outcome of elections in America and other countries too. We want to kind of dictate toward global economic policy. We want to shape and sway elections so we get the result we want. Now, this Bilderberg thing, which I am dubious about how much power they really have, but they believe they have this. A meeting of this Bilderberg people occurred over this past weekend. And compounded with that, there's very open discussion and acknowledgement by many people that many people in the establishment class in Washington, D.C., do not want Donald Trump to win the GOP nomination. In fact, there's talk by elected officials in Washington that if Donald Trump wins the Republican nomination for president, that other people, that Republicans might consider voting for Hillary. And so there's a lot of attack on the Donald Trump campaign from that ilk of the conservative the establishment wing. So he's got the crazy left-wing Black Lives Matter paid-for protesters. He's got Donald Trump also has coming after him, the establishment. But the third thing, that element that's attacking him, and I want to really hit on because I think it's really important to understand. On social media, Donald Trump supporters will regularly characterize anyone opposed to him, to Donald Trump's nomination, as establishment, as a, you know, just an insider, as someone who doesn't like the conservative. But the real source, and I would argue the most intellectual and strongly rooted source of opposition, rooted in ideas and substance opposition to Donald Trump, is from the movement conservatives. People who actually want to see our country returned to its roots in the Constitution, to its roots in the ordered liberty that we're supposed to have in Washington. People who, on a broad range of issues, want to return to the order that's supposed to be established by the Constitution. And these same people are the folks that, when Barack Obama became president back in 2009 when he took office, people saw this as not just, oh, darn, the Democrats won this time, but they saw his rise to power as a truly threatening thing to the very nature of America as a country. They actually understood what Barack Obama meant when he said he wanted to fundamentally transform America. They saw his agitation of the American people over these years of his presidency, his apparent unwillingness to ever shut down division in our society by failing to speak up or speaking up in ways that agitated and divided America. Many serious thinkers about the culture, the fabric of America, saw Barack Obama as a threat to that. And they wanted very much to stop Barack Obama. It was an idea of lawlessness, issuing executive orders which violate the Constitution. He doesn't have the right to issue them. They saw his continual agitation of racial unrest, tying back to the first opponents of Donald Trump, the racial unrest. This is fed and nurtured by the Barack Obama leftist leadership of the Democrat Party. But really what's happening, the strongest opposition, the most potent opposition, in my opinion, of Donald Trump's presidency comes, or potentially his nomination, comes from movement conservatives who are looking for a deeper analysis, a deeper perception on the part of their candidate of what the problem is in America. You know, Marco Rubio said in the New Hampshire debate, when he got stuck on autopilot and repeating himself, but he made the point that Barack Obama is not incompetent. He actually knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he is doing. He is intending what he is doing. He's intending to create a bad deal with Iran. He's intending to give power to the Iranian mullahs and to the rise of Iran as a power in that part of the world over Israel. He's intending to weaken America internationally. He intends to move our country toward a redistributionist socialist idea. People, serious conservatives, saw Barack Obama for what he was, and what they're looking for in a candidate is someone who sees that, who sees not just the ideological roots of Barack Obama's presidency, but see what he has done to this country, how much he has hurt this country. He's hurt the fabric of our culture. He has created a divided America, a jealous America, an America where people think they're entitled to other people's stuff, an America where people are suspicious endlessly of each other's racial motivations. So when I hear Donald Trump, and the has to be hundreds of times at this point, refer to the Iranian deal as a bad deal. I could have done better because I'm a better negotiator. I make better deals. I could have done better because I'm smarter, because all those people are stupid and I'm smart. What you don't hear from him is the most important thing you need to hear from a candidate on the conservative side, and that is, I see who and what Barack Obama and his entire left-wing ilk is, and I will fight to the death to change, to bring America back from the brink, to put America back on track, to expose what Barack Obama has done. That's what we need in a GOP candidate, and I haven't seen a hint of that in Donald Trump. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and ladies, can we talk? We're going off to the fastest break you can imagine. Do not turn that dial. We're going to turn and talk about a few more other things related to this campaign, and we'll be back. And then we have Jeb Henschlin come on with us shortly to talk about his great new project in Washington. Don't go away.
A day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Our nation faces a choice. The path of big government based out of Washington, or the unique brand of liberty and prosperity enjoyed here in Texas. For 27 years, the Texas Public Policy Foundation has helped leaders in the Lone Star State prove that fiscal restraint and small government can deliver opportunity and prosperity for all. The Texas Public Policy Foundation promotes and defends solutions here and around the country based on liberty, free enterprise, and personal responsibility. Whether informing the national debate on property rights, energy, taxes, education, or criminal justice, the foundation works to translate ideas into real change. The Texas Public Policy Foundation does not accept government funds or contributions to influence the outcome of its research. It is supported by thousands of people like you who are concerned about the future of our country. You can help Texas remain strong as the beacon of liberty in America. Visit texaspolicy.com to learn more.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
Imagine your life 5 years from now. Are you on the path you want to be on? It's time to take control of your future by getting a world-class education from one of the nation's top universities. Arizona State University is now offering over 100 top-tier degree programs 100% online. It's the exact same degree our on-campus students receive, but you can learn from anywhere in the country on your own schedule. For information, call 1-800-720-3423. Learn from ASU's world-renowned faculty and use ASU's global recognition to improve your visibility, professional network, and gain real-world experience you can start using today. The Wall Street Journal ranked ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates. Now discover how ASU Online can stand out on your resume and help separate you from the competition. We're ready to help you learn to thrive in your life, in your career, and beyond. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-720-3423. That's 1-800-720-3423.
Are you aware that your current mattress may contain a toxic little secret? Most mattresses contain flame-retardant chemicals that have been linked to serious health risks like infertility, lower IQ scores, behavioral problems in children, and all sorts of cancers. So if you find this disturbing and you would prefer not to sleep in toxic soup, take a trip to Sovin European Sleep Systems. Their mattresses are third-party certified as free of harmful chemicals. Superior comfort and durability with Made in America prices. Sovin European Sleep Systems in Dallas and Southlake. Learn more at sovn.com.
What is Pink Impact?
Last year, Elaine Fisher spoke on being a light in dark places.
Even if you don't want to be there.
And during that message, I heard God shouting out my calling, be a light.
Being a light where all I saw was darkness.
Be a light.
That's my Pink Impact story.
Pink Impact, May 13th and 14th at the Fort Worth Convention Center with Priscilla Shire, Christine Kane, Charlotte Gamble, and Worship with Carrie Jobe. Get your tickets now at pinkimpact.com. That's pinkimpact.com.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. We're going to have Congressman Jeb Henschling join us in the next segment at 6:30. And I want to tell you, before the end of this segment, what he's going to be talking with us about. I'm really, really, really excited about this project that he is undertaking in Washington. And I want to kind of tie it in a different way. I believe I have this happy link queued up correctly to play. And this was a border security gentleman who works for Arizona, the border security, describing the border patrol threats to our American people. I'm just going to, and if I'm in the wrong place, I'll cut this thing short, but I think it's going to roll in the right place. Here we go.
Of families that are together. And so at a time when we see a rapid rise in the actual numbers crossing this border, and you can make any justification of why that's happening, what we see from this administration, from the Obama administration, is an actual reduction at a time we should be providing more support to secure our border.
Okay, I'm going to cut this nice gentleman off there. This is a great news conference, and I'm going to put this link up. Go to the, if you're not on Facebook, you should get on Facebook. If you are, go to the Facebook page for Ladies Can We Talk, and I'll put this link up. But it's a long report from this Border Patrol guy, essentially saying that the southern border people are pouring over. At the same time, the administration has reduced funding so that we have fewer people patrolling the border, and he's discussing that the policies in place simply do not allow them to capture people where they even place their border patrol is not in the correct places where you'd put them if you're actually trying to catch people crossing the border. And so I want to talk about this from many different levels, but one level is, and it ties into what I want to talk about with Congressman Jeb Henschling. A lot of us are activists, we are conservatives, we get involved in political campaigns, we actually care a lot about America. And we watch different campaigns, and we hear candidates come back and say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to secure the border, whatever it is. And you'll often hear, in fact, I've heard numerous congressmen and one of my two U.S. senators say, well, we do try to do that. We are trying to, but we can't do anything about it because it's out of our hands. We've already funded that program. And so, you know, when I talk about separation of powers, let me go back to my constitutional quick summary. The Constitution, the whole point it was, among many points, in setting up our government this way, was to separate powers. So Congress is elected by you. They are your representatives in Washington, the House and the Senate, and the executive branch, the president is elected by you, but beneath the president in the executive branch are hordes of agencies, federal commissions, all with authority, but none of them are elected. So you can't, it's very hard to challenge them. You can't, you know, unelect them. They're not accountable. And then, of course, you have the judiciary, the court system. That's the three branches of government, which I know you know, but just for review. So what this guy is talking about is that once Congress has passed laws and they funded, you know, some agency to do something like the Border Patrol, it is entirely the province of the executive branch to enforce things, to do things, to carry them out. And part of what's happened, most unfortunately, in this very precious liberty-based country, is that over a period of, and it's not just the last 7 years under President Obama, it's the last 70 or so years, Congress has slowly conceded its power through just attrition, just failure to assert it, to both the federal agencies and the courts. And so, for example, you could complain to your congressman, hey, the EPA is stopping me. I own my land. I own this piece of land. I want to dig a small pond in the back to feed the cows or whatever reason you wanted to dig a pond. And the EPA said I can't dig on my own land and fill in water because it violates some EPA regulation. And when you go to your congressman and say, hey, wait a minute, can't you get them off my back? Congress can rightfully say, hey, you know, we have nothing to do with that. We can't touch that. We, you know, this is the agency's. It's out of our control. It's not my fault. It's not my responsibility. So this gradual surrendering by the Congress of its authority to the agencies has both served to make government less representative, and it has given elected officials the out, the perpetual out, to say, well, I can't really solve it after all. That's the EPA. Doggone those people. I don't like them either. And I don't like the IRS. And for that matter, I don't like the Department of Education. But the Congress, the elected officials, have succeeded in truly more or less surrendering their authority. And part of it is, and you're going to hear this, I'm looking forward to talking with Congressman Hensheling, but I will tell you, there was a very lengthy panel that Congressman Hensheling sat on, along with U.S. Senator Mike Lee, truly, you know, top. You talk about the top-tier conservatives in the U.S. Senate, Senator Mike Lee be on anyone's list. So Senator Mike Lee and Congressman Jeb Hensheling launched something called the Article 1 Project. And what they're saying is, we in Congress must take back our power, our constitutionally prescribed power in the Constitution, take it back from the agencies and the executive branch agencies, and take it back from the courts. And one expression, I urge you to listen to go online and look at that. Look it up. It was the CPAC conference. It was CPAC, and the three they had both Congressman Hensheling and Senator Mike Lee, and they also had talk show host Dennis Prager. And they were really fun to listen to, really good panel. And they talked about, you used words like, we're going to reconstitutionalize the Congress. Love that word. They also talked about the idea that they had to, Congressman Hensheling especially was talking about, there's a set of laws they need to pass. They have a list. They want to start to push these laws through. But he also used the expression, we have to change the culture of Congress. Congress, and this is my words now, not his, Congress has kind of gotten comfortable feeling like we can pass the laws we want or not pass, but we really don't have to take responsibility for the mess in Washington because, after all, the agencies are kind of causing this mess. It's almost like they don't want to have to take back their power because then they're responsible for it. There are many steps that you'll hear, I hope, we get to Congressman Hensheling talking about, but this is a really big deal because, and I want to kind of wrap up this segment with this point. It is very symbolic of the difference between big government liberalism and small government conservatism, which you know the Republican Party is supposed to stand for. They do not always. In fact, in many cases, they don't hang in there with small government. But what the Republican Party or the conservatives is supposed to stand for is exactly what America was created to be at its founding, a limited federal government, government not in your face and not in your business all the time. And the liberal left is and has been for decades pushing for more and more left-wing centralized power in Washington, an expansion in the breadth and scope and depth of control from Washington over the people. That's what the left lives to create. It's what Hillary is selling you in her campaign speeches. But this whole Article 1 project got me thinking about this. When Washington functions as it does now, that the Washington elected officials, congressmen and senators, have all sorts of power and perks and money, and they pass laws, and then the enforcement of laws goes off to the executive branch, in the executive branch, the EPA is one I always pick on, but many of the agencies have grabbed onto the power they have. The EPA is completely out of control. The example I gave you is not a made-up example. The EPA now, that originally had power under law to govern and make regulations to preserve the clean water in navigable waters, now regulates when you want to build a pond, dig a pond in your backyard. The EPA has expanded its power, and this is very much like what left-wing government is and what they want, which is absolute power residing in a broad, centralized government in Washington. What conservatism is supposed to stand for is limited government. So this project that Jeb Hensarling, Congressman Jeb Hensarling, and Senator Mike Lee are trying to do is not creating new power in Washington, new power in the Congress. It is pulling away power the executive branch was never meant to have, and it's returning it to the Congress so that those people who are accountable to you, those people that you can run against and take out if you don't want, that there's accountability in Washington, and that the spending, the power of spending, which is what the Constitution gave, the founders and the Constitution gave the Congress, it goes back into Congress because Congress will in part be able to regulate the spending by these agencies. So it's a great project. We're going to go off to our break and come right back, and Jeb Hensarling will be on with us to tell us about the brilliant Article 1 project. Come back after our break.
Can you hear us now?
AM, the answer.
America needs to solve its immigration policy, but too often, political correctness hijacks intelligent discussion, so people are told you either support amnesty for illegal aliens or you're anti-immigrant. You know, one of the most important issues tied to immigration is this: who has the right to vote in America? Democrats support amnesty and citizenship for illegal aliens because they believe they will vote Democrat. The integrity of American elections must mean that citizens only vote, and those citizens need to know what America is: the land of the rule of law and free enterprise, self-reliance, limited government, liberty. Of course, people of any background can and do embrace the right ideas of America. Leaving aside any other legal status, people who broke America's laws to enter our country should have no path to the right to vote, except the path of returning to their country of origin and starting the process of legal application to become a U.S. citizen. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and ladies, can we talk?
For you, as someone who lives in America, having access to a Bible is something you probably take for granted. You can go to almost any bookstore and even browse multiple versions. But imagine if this wasn't the case. Imagine wanting to grow through the Word of God, but neither you nor your pastor have a Bible.
Hi, I'm Stephen Lutz. I'm the founder and president of Harvesters Family of Ministries. Recently, we found a man who's been in ministry for over 50 years, who has never owned a Bible. Imagine that. We asked him how that happened, and he said at Bible school, they lent him a Bible. But when he left, they said the Bible had to remain behind because the next student wouldn't have something to study from. And he prayed for 50 years until we found him and handed him his first copy of the Word of God. As tears streamed down his face, he thanked those of us who brought the Bible and those who donated it.
For just $15, you can provide a Bible to these pastors and churches that are being planted daily by Harvesters. Just go to 660amtheanswer.com and click on the Harvesters banner. For just $15, you can spread the Word of God throughout the world.
We are visiting our friend Chef Tom Fleming at Crossroads Diner. What do you have cooking today, Tom?
We've talked before, and it's great to talk to you again. Let me ask you a question. When you're going to those other breakfast places, are they making stuff in-house? You should ask them. Because at the Crossroads Diner, well, we make a lot of things in-house. You might ask, what? Well, let me help you. Well, there's the sticky buns, our homemade pancake mix, our whole wheat pancake mix, biscuits made in-house, sauces made from scratch, jams and jellies, our chorizo, Italian sausage, our quiche. I could go on and on. But really, you just need to ask the other guys, are they doing that? Because I don't think they are, but know that we are.
Crossroads Diner. Come eat with us at our new location, now at the corner of Preston and Campbell in the Kroger Shopping Center. Open for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or visit them on the web at crossroadsdiner.com. Homestyle goodness meets traditional diner. Great recipes, fresh ingredients, comfortable environment, and genuine hospitality are the heart and soul of Crossroads Diner. We'll be waiting for you.
As a listener to this station, you've heard a variety of companies advertising their products and services.
many of them for a number of years.
I'm Walt Parker with InvestingMakesMeSick.com. I've gotten absolutely great results. No matter who's advertising, it definitely pays off. Doesn't matter what business they're in, I think they'll find it's going to be very rewarding.
My name is John Duncan. I'm the CEO and founder of Viascan of Las Colinas. It's simply the most effective advertising that I can do. I've advertised for the last 14 years on television, radio, and newspaper, and advertising with 660 gets the best results.
Hi, I'm Marcia West, Senior Account Manager for 660 AM The Answer. For 20 years, I've worked with companies, both big and small, to create cost-effective radio campaigns that get results. Let me do the same for you. Contact me today at mwest@ksky.com. That's mwest@ksky.com. I want to help you grow your business.
660 AM The Answer.
660amtheanswer.com.
866-660-5759 is the number to call with your question or comment. Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM The Answer.
So good evening. Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. So glad you've tuned in tonight. As I mentioned earlier, we have a great guest joining us tonight, Congressman Jeb Hensarling. Hello, sir.
Debbie, thanks for having me this evening.
So glad you're on with us. I have to tell you, when I first heard about this Article 1 project, I knew instantly, because I'm a lawyer by background and because I love the Constitution, what you're probably talking about. But you are among the founders, along with Senator Mike Lee, of a project in Washington called the Article 1 Project. So I'll let you please tell our listeners what it's all about.
Well, many may recall a fairly famous saying from Madison, and that is, there are more examples of the loss of freedom through silent and gradual encroachment than by violent and sudden usurpations. And the challenge is, for decades, Article 1 of the Constitution, that dealing with the powers of Congress, has been eroded. Some of that has come from executive overreach. Some of that has come from judicial overreach. But frankly, a fair amount of it has come from congressional underreach, where Congress has voluntarily yielded its Article 1, Section 1 powers to an executive branch. And what this means, Debbie, is ultimately we are losing the foundational principles of the rule of law. We are losing the foundational principles of due process. We are losing the foundational principles of checks and balances. And so the Article 1 Project is something that Mike Lee and I have put together with a number of other members to, number one, heighten the consciousness of our fellow members of Congress that for the sake of the Republic, we have got to reclaim our powers. We can't just be an advisory committee to the executive branch of government. And so part of this is to enlighten and sensitize our fellow members. Part of this is going to be about helping educate the public. Part of this is going to be a legislative agenda of how to go about reclaiming our Article 1 powers so that we can get back to government by we the people as opposed to they the government.
I just love that concept. You know, in this era under President Obama, we're now in the seventh year of his presidency, I think there has been more attention paid to whether what Congress could be doing to impact things that President Obama does that perhaps the public or at least the GOP voters don't support. And so I think that there's a sense that this, you know, the Congress needs to stand up and use the power of the purse. But you've described, and you're talking about this, that this is not concern about Congress not using all the power the Constitution gives it. It didn't just start happening under President Obama. It's actually a several decades long, slow, gradual surrendering of your authority.
Well, indeed, and it's something that both parties have been guilty of. The founders wanted to set out lawmaking as something that was time-consuming, laborious, and difficult. In other words, they wanted Congress to rule wisely and sparingly. And so what happens is, for the sake of efficiency and furthering policy objectives, parties, when their party, parties in Congress, when their party was in the White House, yielded increasingly large sections of Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution that says all legislative powers are vested in Congress. They've been handing it over to the executive branch. And then the executive branch, in many respects, are handing out the power consequently and subsequently to the so-called independent agencies. And what happens is they become cop on the beat, prosecutor, judge, jury, and often recipient of the fine, all rolled into one. They are, and we're losing again the rule of law to the arbitrary discretion of regulators. I mean, it's absolutely frightening. We see it in our loss of economic growth, but more importantly, it manifests itself in our loss of freedom.
I love that you went this went in this direction, because I really wanted to focus on that. In the United States, in Washington, we have all these federal agencies. One in particular that gets a lot of attention in the media is the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. And I think it's just remarkable how much our power has grown. And it, in some ways, when people in the public complain about, well, look at the EPA, Congress is kind of saying, well, you know, we didn't really pass that law. We're not responsible for that. We can't do anything about it. So part of what you are going to accomplish, or at least a goal under Article 1, is to rein back in some of the federal agencies, right?
Well, indeed, and I'm glad you use that word rein, because there is a piece of legislation known as the RAINS Act, and the purpose of it would be to force Congress to vote on any rule, which is just a name for lawmaking by the administration. But it would force Congress to proactively, affirmatively vote on any rule that had any kind of impact of any consequence on the economy, in this particular case set at $100 million or more. So, again, we wake up and we find out that it's not Congress that is governing over America's air quality. It's the EPA. It's not Congress governing over workplace safety. It's OSHA. It's not Congress holding forth over consumer protection laws. It's this Orwellian name, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau,
yes,
that can now functionally take away our credit cards, our home mortgages, and our auto loans. That has to change in a free society. That has got to change.
Well, two things. Doesn't this go against the argument that many people in agencies would say was, well, they, the agencies and all their experts, they have the expertise, and you in Congress, you don't really have the ability or the depth of expertise to figure out how to regulate CO2 or what to do about consumer loans. Isn't that an argument the agency supporters would make?
Well, certainly it is, and I'm happy to have experts at agencies carry out the law. I'm happy to have experts at agencies make recommendations to the elected representatives of we the people. But ultimately, Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution says all legislative powers, not some, not part, but all legislative powers are to be vested in Congress. So the way this should work is not to empower the bureaucrats to be lawmakers. They need to be the advisory committee to Congress. Congress doesn't need to be the advisory committee to them. The whole thing has been stood on its head. And again, because of that, we're losing our freedoms, we're losing our prosperity. We have to completely change this to where, again, we reclaim our legislative powers. And certainly one of the ways to do that is through the power of the purse.
Yeah, you know, I love that, because your answer, I think, is just perfect. The fact that the agencies have the expertise, or they may claim they do, doesn't mean that they get to make the rules. It means they need to be advising Congress, here's what our information is. But ultimately, the idea that, especially because several of the agencies, I always go back to the EPA because they particularly bother me, but because they are able to be kind of judge and jury, it is really a violation of the notion of separation of powers, because they are essentially making regulations almost like laws, imposing the fine, collecting the fine, and that's really a mixture of, it's a violation of the separation of the legislative function from the executive function.
Well, you have certainly figured it out, and I'm sure the listeners will figure it out as well. That's what's going on. And just as an aside, if there's an agency of government that has killed off more jobs, hope, and economic growth than the EPA, I certainly do not know its name. So I have no doubt there are some good people at the EPA, but they should not be, under our Constitution, be allowed to be judge, jury, prosecutor, legislator, recipient of the fine, all rolled into one. Clean air, clean water, these are serious topics, serious subjects. But under our Constitution, it's the elected representatives of the people have to be held accountable. And last I looked, we're holding an election in November, and a lot of people will be held accountable. These bureaucrats are never held accountable. They're almost impossible to fire. We don't even know their names. Many of them operate in arbitrary, capricious, and harmful fashions. The law becomes whatever they decide to say it is, depending upon what side of the bed they woke up on that day. It is unfair, it is unjust, it is unconstitutional, and part of this Article I project is to change it.
Just love it. So, Congressman Henschling, this is, you mentioned the need to change the culture of Congress. It's really letting your fellow members of Congress know that we're kind of surrendering our constitutional authority and really letting the American people down if we don't reassert our role and our place. So how's it going talking to your fellow members of Congress about this?
Well, so far, so good. We started out with a group of 10, a lot of interest in other members. I'm very happy to say that the Speaker, Paul Ryan of the House, has also decided to launch a similar effort within the House. What I'm doing with Mike Lee is obviously both Senate and House oriented, but at the highest levels of the elected Republican leadership in the House, they have realized as well that we have yielded these Article I powers too long to the detriment of the people and that we're losing foundational principles. So I think we're off to a good start here, and over the next few weeks to months, expect to hear more from the project and expect to see actual legislation come forth. And different ideas about not only changing laws, but changing the culture of Congress as well. And listen, it's going to be more hard work for our elected representatives. It means we'll have to pore over a lot more matters, and we'll have to take some responsibility. But, you know, if you can't stand the heat, don't hang around in the kitchen.
Love that. Where can people learn more about this? Because I think it's just a great, it's not an expansion of Congress's power. It's a reassertion of it. It's a vital thing for our balance of power in Washington. So where can people learn more about this?
Well, on our Facebook page, which is /Article I Project, we would invite everyone to come and be a part and weigh in. I can assure you all wisdom does not come from Washington. Very little wisdom comes from Washington. And perspectives from we the people would be helpful, and just talk it up amongst our fellow citizens. It's a vitally important project, again, for our freedom and our prosperity.
Okay, we are speaking tonight with Congressman Jeb Henschling, who is one of the two founders, along with Senator Mike Lee, of the Article I Project, the mission to reassert the constitutional role Congress is meant to play in, under Article I. And I applaud this effort. I hope we can have you on again in a few months and hear how this is going.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Thanks so much for calling in. This is Debbie Georgiatis and Ladies Can We Talk. Do not touch that radio dial. We'll be back before you know it.
Something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer. Dennis Prager apologizes to the next generation.
When Donald Trump opened up essentially with speaking about his private parts, all I thought was, I want to apologize to the kids of America. You really are getting a worse country than my parents gave me.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM. The Answer.
You may have heard presidential candidate Bernie Sanders praise the country of Denmark. Bernie Sanders is a Democrat socialist, and he openly acknowledges he wants to bring socialism to America. But let's focus on Denmark, his favorite country. I urge you to go to a website, Manipulism, MANIPULISM.com. That website was put up by a woman who actually lives in Denmark and tells the truth about the astounding cost of living in Denmark. The taxes you pay when you buy a new car,
car are 180% of the price of the car, meaning you pay more in taxes to the government than for the car you purchase. Danish people have the highest private debt in the world, and very few ever actually own a car or a house. A gallon of gas costs $10. Denmark's suicide rate averages about 20 per 100,000, much higher than the American suicide rate. Socialism makes people poor and miserable. Don't let Bernie Sanders or any other Democrat bring it to America.
Sometimes a simple task like taking a bath can be a frightening experience for a senior. No one wants to be on their back and unable to get up during a bath. So if you or one of your loved ones have concerns about the safety of your bathtub, call 800-USA-BATH right now for information on the Vantage Therapeutic Walk-In Bath. Our unique walk-in design and soothing hydrotherapy make your experience one of a kind. No other walk-in bath on the market offers as many features, and Vantage is backed by Good Housekeeping, which independently certifies the product and gives you a full 2-year money-back guarantee for the entire cost of your new bath. The Vantage Therapeutic Walk-In Bath. It's the one certified by Good Housekeeping. Call 800-USA-BATH for more information on our easy finance options and see how you can enjoy the Vantage Bath for less than the price of your daily cup of coffee. The first 50 callers to 800-USA-BATH can take advantage of a Helping Hands Instant Rewards benefit of up to $1,500. Call 800-USA-BATH now or see us on the web at 800USABATH.com.
Is there a section in your closet reserved for those smaller clothes that don't fit anymore?
Oh, Dr. Jimmy, you just read my mind. I just couldn't bring myself to part with those clothes. But I got with the program at Fat Loss DFW, and I've lost 36 pounds, and I feel great. In fact, you'll lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days guaranteed with this doctor-supervised plan at Fat Loss DFW that's going to be customized for your own individual body.
You can start feeling better about yourself and get back into those clothes. With Fat Loss DFW, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days guaranteed and regain your confidence with Fat Loss DFW.
So call right now, 844-801-THIN. That's 844-801-THIN. Or go to the web and look up fatlossdfw.com. I've lost 36 pounds, and if I can do it, you can too. So please call 844-801-THIN or online at fatlossdfw.com.
Things that require a personalized fit. Shoes, pants, wedding rings, and heck, even brassieres. They all require a personal fit. Why wouldn't you do the same with your mattress? I promise you, 30 minutes with the professionals at Sovin European Sleep Systems, and that's exactly what you can expect. A custom-tailored mattress and a vastly more comfortable sleeping experience. Superior comfort and durability with Made in America prices. Sovin European Sleep Systems in Dallas and Southlake. Learn more at sovn.com.
You can listen on the go. Find us on iHeartRadio. 660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. This is always the fastest 2 hours of my week. And first I want to say thank you again to Congressman Jeb Hensarling. Grateful to have him in Washington. Love this Article One project. We are going to keep watching this because you guys, actually, every listener out there, you ought to be on the case of your congressman and senator to get behind this because it is going to make their jobs harder and more accountable, but also more consistent with the Constitution. Okay, I'm going to try to do a cruise through the news that I do in this segment sometimes. And I'm also going to weave in my new words I try to introduce. We've been laughing on the break about these words. So we're going to be playing something that was from the sempiternal Democrat debates. And who knows, raise your hand if you know sempiternal. It means of never-ending duration. Don't the Democrat debates just seem that way, like never-ending duration? You're like, oh my gosh, please. Or the other word is soporific, which means causing or tending to cause sleep, like they put you to sleep. We actually have a great quote from Hillary. We're going to save till the next hour, right after the top of the hour, a quote that she gave in the most recent soporific and sempiternal Democrat debate that relates to an amazing story that we're going to tie in with. And here it is. I'll just tell you that Angela, as we learned from Carly Fiorina, she pronounces her name Angela. Angela Merkel, the president or prime minister of Germany, just had amazing election outcomes happen tonight. This is breaking news. And it seems like she's getting a little bit of feedback from her voters, a little pushback, about her decision relating to flooding the country with refugees. So in the second hour of my leading ladies, Carrie Kelman and Jenny McGarry, we're going to talk about that. But I also want to mention something I put in our little email, our weekly email about this show, and it relates to Egypt. And, you know, Egypt, which is obviously a, you know, profoundly, you know, centuries, millennia old culture and society and had a role in the world. You know, Egypt is in tumult, but one thing that was a really neat thing that's happening there. So Egypt was, you know, they had the big Arab Spring, and then through President Obama's assistance, brought in a horrible administration there that was tied to the Muslim Brotherhood, very extreme radical Islamic group. Mr. Morsi, I can't think of his first name, but Morsi was briefly the head of Egypt, and he was ousted by the people who said, we want a more moderate form of Islam. We actually don't want the government controlling us in the way they were. So under this new president, al-Sisi, and in this new government in Egypt, a really cool thing has happened. A woman college professor has raised the point, actually raised it several years ago, continued to raise it, to say, why do we have women wearing Islamic face veils out in public? Why do we have women being treated, which the veil is a second-class citizen, it is demeaning to women, it's symbolic of being second-class. And so this woman has been agitating for, in Egypt, having the government say, pushing for a ban on women wearing the Islamic face veils. And the bill has actually gotten through the beginning of the process. It's not a law yet. I can't go that far, but she's pushing this. And this is really, I just thought, interesting in several levels. You know, this show is from our show, Ladies Can We Talk? It's for women and men. But there's a really noble right thing about the idea of women not being treated in any culture, not having our world, you know, accept the notion that women have to be second class. And this woman professor is saying, yeah, we need to actually get rid of these face veils in public in Egypt. And the proposed ban that would is been now a bill introduced in their legislature, draft legislation, would ban the woman wearing a veil or the N-I-Q-U-A-B, niqab, I guess, in public. Well, and says the proposed ban would be used in public places and government institutions. And actually, last year, they already passed something saying that women could not wear the face veil in hospitals because the patients can't understand them, can't see them, can't relate to them. So there's this push. It is just a freedom thing. It's a freedom thing. Now, I have to say, if you are an adherent of the Islamic faith, and you're a woman and you really want to wear a veil, that's the harder question, because in America, we'd never have this kind of ban. But I just thought it showed a spark of speaking up for women, of a male-dominated culture and society, Islamic society, entertaining the idea that maybe we don't have to have women running around with their faces covered all the time. I just thought it was really symbolic. So that's happening. It's in Egypt right now. We're going to follow that story just out of interest. The other thing I wanted to mention in these closing minutes of this segment is this. We're going to talk in the second hour about what's happened in Germany. It's just really amazing kind of feedback, as I say, that Angela Merkel has now received from the voters. But before we get to that, I want to mention one thing about this election cycle. I'm seeing more stories about supporters of particular GOP candidates, you know, whether it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, saying, well, if my guy doesn't win, they should go third party. You know, let's go third party. And I want to just say something. I understand that they had the debate recently and everyone agreed they weren't going to do that. But I want to just make something clear that last week on the show, we had a great guest, Tara Ross. She's an expert on the Electoral College. And I think at the end of that, I failed to tie the bow. I'm going to tie it now to wrap it up. And that is this. The reason the Electoral College matters is that when you vote on Election Day, which this year is November 8th, when you vote, and so all the states know who's won, every state, then that isn't really how the president is selected. The vote then goes from the people on Election Day to the Electoral College. And the Electoral College is actually comprised of a certain number of people from each state. So in a, you could have a third party candidate say you want, I don't even want to pick one of the candidates, Joe Blow, Mr. Jones, say you want Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, the candidate, could get 30% of the votes in every state in America and get zero votes at the Electoral College. And so you may think your candidate's very popular and a really big group of your friends love that candidate, but you can't, unless you can win a state, get over 50% and win a state, you cannot get that person elected to the presidency. And what you will do by pushing this third party thing is increase the likelihood that the party, the opposite party, wins the state because you're dividing the GOP vote in that state. And so no matter how strongly and ardently you feel, please don't be one of the ones pushing the idea of having this go third party, because at the end of the day, you're going to get the Democrat elected. I just want to make sure that was really clear, and I didn't tie that bow last week. The Electoral College is designed to encourage candidates, to force candidates to campaign in every state. You have to win states that are in Electoral College, so representational, proportional representation, but you can't win. You could say the most popular candidate there is, you get 30% of every state, and you lose. Zero Electoral College, and you lose. And it's really important to understand that. And, you know, this election cycle, we're going to talk more probably about the GOP primary and how that's all going at the top of the hour. We're going to tell you the big news about Germany, Angela Merkel, and talk more about this is a tumultuous election cycle, and we all need to be on board to support preserving the greatness of America. Debbie Georgiadis, Ladies Can We Talk.
Here's a quick way to figure out whether someone loves American-style liberty or not. Ask about American exceptionalism, because I'll tell you what American exceptionalism is based on. It's about the idea in the Declaration of Independence that all men and women are created equal, that we have rights from our Creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's about a Constitution that both limits and defines government's power. It's about the freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. It's about the values that emerged from the Declaration and Constitution. It's about limited government. It's about morality based in the Bible's teachings. It's about rights of the individual, not the group. It's about self-reliance and opportunity. It's about family structure. It's about free markets, not collectivism. It's about the rule of law. It's about predictable and limited taxes and regulations. It's about optimism, the can-do spirit, the sense we can go as far up as our dreams, efforts, and abilities take us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about.
Without automatic cloud backup, everything on your computer is at risk. From hackers, viruses, natural disasters, or even the occasional human error. Few things are as bad for business as downtime. So why take the risk? Get Carbonite Cloud Backup and protect all the files that keep your business or your home running smoothly. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use the offer code INFORMATION to get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code INFORMATION.
And now, a touching moment while staying in touch with Geico.
It was a warm summer day. I was just sitting on a porch watching a babbling brook roll by. Then, out of the blue,